Welcome everyone to 24 Shades of Blue. My name is Anime and I'm your host for this inspiring podcast all about the Toronto Police Service. You know, lately I've been thinking about the makeup of our community and its diversity. And of course, you know, in Toronto, diversity is our strength. But one thing that I think we fall into is when we think of diversity, we think of race or ethnicity. Today, we're going to talk about something a little different. We're going to talk about diversity of visual ability. And we have two special guests with us today, Joey Cabral and Staff Sergeant Joseph Shangi. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Joey, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
My name is Joey Cabral. I work for the Emergency Task Force and I work at the front desk there and I'm completely blind, have no vision.
And then Joseph, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you know Joey.
Yeah, I'm currently one of the staff sergeants at the Emergency Task Force. I've been there for a little bit of time. I was a sergeant there and as well, I was one of the operators on the teams as a team leader. Joey and I crossed paths quite a ways back, about 20 years, when I worked at the employment unit, which is now talent acquisition, as one of their background investigators. And Joey was the front desk, like a clerk, basically the same duties, like a front desk unit of the employment unit, greeting everybody that came in to apply to the service. So Joey and I hit it off from there and we've been friends since and colleagues now at the ETF together, which is awesome.
That's fantastic. Joey, can you tell me a little bit about your career at TPS? I mean, you mentioned that you are 100% blind, so I am sure our audience would love to hear all of your accomplishments so far.
So I started back in 99-2000. It was for 2 years. I was a co-op student and I got hired June 25th, 2001. My last day of being co-op, my inspector is no longer on the job, Inspector Olga Cook. She called me into the office and she asked me how I enjoyed my co-op position here and everything. And then she said, really loved me and did fine. And on my 19th birthday, they got me to sign a contract. I was a temporary clerk for 6 months for a couple of years. And then eventually I got hired on permanently, worked in employment from 05 to 05, and then moved on to the duty desk from there to from 06 to 07 to duty desk, which is basically what the desk and what TPOC is now. But that was duty desk was the old TPOC. And I always wanted to work there, and after work, I would go down there on my own time just to learn the job because I wanted to be there, and I put a lot of time to get into that position. Did that for a year, then moved on from 06 to from 07 to 2022, traffic services, because I always wanted to be a police officer. Obviously, I'm being visually completely blind, and that's not going to happen. So I go, let me go to a division and be with the officers there, and it's the closest I'm going to be one. It felt good. I worked for the highway patrol there and did translations there. I learned a lot in traffic and it was just time to change. And now I got a chance to go to the ETF. It was such an elite unit that it felt this is as close as I'm going to be an officer as being there.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk a little bit more about ETF, and ETF again for everyone is the Emergency Task Force, right?
Correct.
That's right. And so, not only are you accomplished there, but what else should we all know about Joey and his athletic ability?
There's quite a few things. Joey's a bit of a big deal around Toronto. He started out with his 15 minutes of fame, which has continued. So I think he's got extra than, you know, the average person. He's probably has about 2 hours of fame. So far, he's racked up. He started with making an arrest of somebody that was an impaired driver. And that's sort of where, you know, Joey was across the headlines in Canada and wound up. It was at the Mike Bullard show there.
Yeah, the Mike Bullard show, yeah.
So for those that remember it, I don't know if you remember it, Anime, because we're probably dating ourselves, both Joey and I.
No comment.
But that was the only Canadian talk show. It was right at Church and Yonge Street, right in the Masonic Temple. Anyways, Joey and his dog at the time, Bomber, made it onto the show from making that arrest. Since then, personally, Joey and I, Joey does a lot. Like, we've gone ice fishing together. He's much better fisher than me. I'm telling you, there are some benefits to being visually impaired, because you've told me, Joey, about how you can feel the line move, and you're much more sensitive to it. So he knows when to jig, and I don't. Joey plays blind hockey for Team Canada.
Wait, like, what?
Yeah. So there's blind hockey where there's a puck with, Joey, you explained
Yes. I don't know what this ice hockey, blind ice hockey for Canada. It sounds like a big thing.
So it started off in, I play for my home club here, the Toronto Ice Owls. I've been playing for them since 1998, still playing for them. And back in, there's a friend of mine that plays on my Ice Owl team. He went blind at the age 17, and he was going to go into the OHL and potentially go into NHL, and he got blind, and everything went downhill from there. He lost his driver's license. He went just to complete depression, but he goes, that's not going to stop me. He decided to put on a pair of rollerblades and rollerblade across Canada and start up a charity called Courage Canada that led into now the Canadian Blind Hockey League. And from there, we just hope, well, there's only a few teams in Canada for hockey. Now, since he started that, it's grown, and now it's grown into the, we have a Team Canada.
So but I don't understand. How do you play hockey? And how do you, I don't get it.
So how it works is typically the goalies that play are zero vision, and the players that play out go from 5% to 10% vision. I'll give you an example. Someone that's 10% vision, a regular person sees at 200 feet, they see clearly at 20 feet. So they have enough vision. So someone with 10% vision can guide me on the street, no problem.
Got it. And you as a goalie, how does that function?
It took time. I started off as a defenseman in 1998, converted into a goalie, because I go, having zero vision, like touching the puck in the game would be a highlight for me. I wasn't really part of the game. I go, let me go play net and be more effective and help my team. And I don't even know how to explain it. You just get used to where the puck is. Like, I can track the puck. Guys track, people, regular sighted goalies track with their eyes. I track with my ears. Like, I can follow where the puck's going, even when it's on the other end of the rink, because our puck's made out of metal and it has ball bearings in it. So it rattles. But when it comes to shoot on net, if it's in the air, it doesn't make noise. So it just reflexes.
That's incredible. I mean, so you talked, Joseph, about how ice hockey, or fishing, actually, ice fishing, and why Joey is just so effective. Joey, can you tell me about how that has translated into your work? I mean, you're saying that you're playing hockey blind, and it must be so great to be part of this community and now translating that to TPS. How has that helped you?
Just being, it's like being a part of a team. And now where I'm at the Emergency Task Force, it's a team. And I have that experience of being on a hockey team. And it's definitely has translated, like, helped me out to my job, what I'm doing now.
And maybe a plug. So you compete in Canada and against other countries, or is it Canadian teams?
The only two countries right now, it's just starting, is Team USA. But we have teams that are starting off now in Finland, Russia. Sweden was part of the picture, but they sort of fell off, but hopefully they come back. And it's hard, but we tried. We went over to Finland and brought the game there and taught the people the game and the rules, provided them for all the equipment they need. And hopefully, I don't know, in my time, but 2030 was their goal to be in the Paralympics, but you need eight countries to be in there. And we only have two right now, possibly three. So hopefully in my time, I can still do it. But if not, still like to be maybe part of the team as a coach or something.
Yeah. And for all of us to support it, we can go and watch you, and who knows, maybe you'll be part of the Paralympics one day.
I would love to be, yeah. But we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. Joey, the Wall Cabral. And he just picked up another gold medal. How many gold medals is that?
This is four now we've picked up. And
congratulations.
They just had an international tournament against the US, and, they're a great team and everything, but I still feel the Canadian hockey players.
Well, I mean, they have Joey.
Yeah, we have Joey, and that's what his name is, Joey the Wall Cabral.
Yeah, I love it.
I got that name out of through the broadcaster, but yeah, it's my nickname.
Yeah, so I want to go back to now your work. So we talked about your functions as a hockey goalie and how that has translated really well, but you spoke earlier about you working at the duty desk. Yeah. And so you worked at the duty desk, but now you're full time at ETF. So how has that transition been?
It's been great at the duty desk. There was a lot to learn, and like the dispatchers will call about, like, basically we're the old TPOC, and going from everything that's happening in the city, I would know about from officers being disciplined and everything. Like, so the dispatchers would call in and they would give us like an event number, exam 1, 2, 3, 4. I didn't know how to write with a pen, and I always do it with Braille because Braille, that's what I use. But to be in that unit, I taught myself just to do numbers so I can write those numbers down when the dispatcher called, so I can give it to the staff sergeant to review that call. So that took a lot of time, but in my mind, there's no such thing as can't. And I taught myself how to write the numbers so I can be, that's a big important thing of being that position, to be able to give that number to the staff sergeant and him read the call.
You mentioned the word or the acronym TPOC. What's TPOC?
TPOC. It's basically what the old duty desk would be.
But so it's the Toronto Police Operations Center.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's just equating it to the Toronto Police Operations Center, which was the duty desk that he was working at.
Mm-hmm. Which is a call center. And so you were explaining that you were able to translate the work that you would normally do in Braille, but you would do it in numbers. Is that what you're saying?
Walk me through it. We'll call with an event number. Mm-hmm. Say a person with a knife. And they give a number of 12578. So I can't put that in Braille because the people don't know how to read the Braille. And that was one of the biggest things that is that. And I had friends that helped me. It wasn't perfect, but the numbers were legible to read. I taught myself in that short period of time to write numbers.
So the duty desk, I mean, Joey obviously self-taught himself to make sure that he was successful at that spot. So not just writing it, but like he said earlier, I don't know if you caught that, but he spent his own time going down. So he's still working at the employment unit, but would go down after work and sit with the guys and girls and all the officers down there and learn the job on his own time so that he would be successful at it. And that's what happened. And that, like, even though he did go to traffic services for a bit, I do see the benefits of him working at the emergency task force, that it's followed with him, because you have to multitask and do, a multitude of tasks from, you know, what you wouldn't, you know, consider, you know, heavy work where you have to take a package somewhere, all the way to monitoring calls in the city that are the most important or the most volatile situations, and then letting the right people know about it, notifying them. Mm-hmm. And that is the key to our system and why, you know, why you are safe and why the police are trying to keep safer communities. So it's a very important role that Joey plays.
Can we break that down? I'm sorry. And we want to take a step back of breaking down the role and responsibilities of ETF and how that differs. Could we start that again?
Yeah, for sure. So for the emergency task force itself, I mean, it's the SWAT team for Toronto, right? So there are six SWAT teams, individual gun teams that we have in Toronto that work 24/7. 7 days a week. They're getting two calls a day, or we are getting two calls a day, on average. So it's a very busy place. I mean, we're the third largest city in North America, so you can expect with population, there's going to be, more problems. That's all, like the frequency of issues. So it's very important when we're the things that we're dealing with, certain aspects. 20% minimum of our calls are persons in crisis. So just that alone, time is of the essence. So you have to have your ear to the ground. So at the front desk, that's our hub for the ETF. We'll get calls from dispatch that will tell us when it meets a threshold that the ETF should monitor. So they'll tell us, person with a gun, person with a knife, person in crisis, whatever it may be, that the primary response units are going to be attending. Joey would be one of the people that takes that call. Mm-hmm. He has to take all the basic information from that call. He translates, I don't want to take up all your time, Joey, but he translates that into Braille if the other station operator's partner is not there, so that he can then relay that information back to him. But while his partner's there or not there, because it gets to be a very busy place, Joey's the one that you will hear switching radio bands over to, say, 52 division downtown and telling the dispatcher ETF is monitoring your band. And he's the one that, along with the other station operator, are monitoring that band to see where that call goes. If it reaches a point that he needs to tell the sergeant or the team leader, hey, this is what's going on. I think you might want to tune into it, or you might want to go to this call. There are obviously calls that are coming in that are very important from like multi-jurisdictional agencies that Joey has to reroute and call. There's people that are coming into the front desk. He's dealing with our administrative staff and assisting them with copying and putting data on sticks and such. So Joey just recently acted for us.
What do you mean?
Yeah, so we do scenarios to make sure that our SWAT officers are the best trained and can handle any situation. So the scenarios can range from anything from a hostage rescue to a person in crisis, whatever it may be, and anything in between. And we've had Joey step in to give that extra added element and that
representation.
Representation, absolutely, from the community that we will be dealing with. So I don't know, Joey, if you want to speak about what that experience was like for you.
It was amazing to be part of that and be able to help the teams out and being an actor. I've never done something like that. It's just every day in this unit, I'm learning something new and I love it. I love challenges.
No, that's fantastic. And, you know, when you're both of you are speaking about the role that you have, it sounds like you're doing everything any other person is doing. There's nothing really different and nothing stopping you, which is fantastic. And because of that, though, with accessibility, what has ETF done to support you and accessibility and making sure that you've been successful in your
getting
role?
All the proper tools. Like first of all, the radios weren't accessible. We got our telecom unit. Then I go to the zones. The radio will tell me what zones I'm in, what channel I'm in. I have a brailler that I do my typing in. I can connect that to a USB into a printer. So whatever I'm putting in Braille, that Braille will translate into print so you can read it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so they've provided me with a lot and to make my job better, and hopefully can provide with more and so I can be more successful.
No, that's absolutely right. And what I hear from you is just lots of communication.
Yeah. So on our end, it's not a company thing at all, but it's true in the sense of just humanity is you want to, doesn't matter where you work, whether it's Toronto Police or wherever it may be, but you want to ensure you are actually doing the right thing and taking care of your people, taking care of the people that work for you, work with you, and making sure everybody feels included and looking at what that person's capabilities are and seeing what their limitations are, how can you overcome them? And it's just a creative process. But I'll tell you, the addition, having Joey there is very inspiring to myself and to all the members there. His work ethic and positive attitude and the things that Joey accomplishes that are, difficult for fully sighted individuals to do, he's out there doing it. Joey, just so you know, you raise like the esprit de corps in our unit, and we're proud to have you there at the Emergency Task Force.
Thank you. I'm proud to be there.
Yeah, just so you know. So we want to ensure that Joey maintains his role as part of the team. I think, in my opinion, it's going amazing.
Yes, thanks to our Joe Tafshangi and Superintendent Greenway for giving me an opportunity and showing my skills. Joe knew who I am, but Superintendent knew a little bit about me through Joe, but he never saw me work. He took the chance and the opportunity to give me a chance, and that was much appreciated.
I will say there are other people too that act genuinely care and have great hearts on this service. And one of them is Staff Sergeant John Apostolidis. He's not going to like me for saying that, but Johnny and I worked behind the scenes together, and I have to give him props, and he actually should be sitting here with me to tell you the truth. But Johnny worked with Joey and myself behind the scenes to, you know, ensure that he was fully, kitted out and gets the proper everything, right? From, you know, the accessible phones to the, you know, the earbuds so that you can do your job, the Wave app, everything that that can assist and make life easier and more on an even keel or even scale.
And then that's so great to hear, because I think the heart of any organization, it really is the people. The people, it matters. Everyone matters. And from what it sounds like, we have found TPS to care and to care about everyone. So that's wonderful to hear. But I do want to bring out a stat, because it's interesting. We have the support of TPS, but yet when we look at CNIB, the foundation, they have published stats that unemployment rate for people with sight loss is 14.5%. And that is actually triple the Canadian general unemployment rate. That's massive. So for both of you, I'd like to ask this, what changes would you like to see implemented, you know, either at TPS or even in our communities to help combat this high unemployment rate?
I would love to see more. There's not even TPS, just companies, big companies out there, and hiring more people with disabilities, because someone's blind or someone's in the wheelchair doesn't mean they can't do that job. And I'll tell you right now, you go to someone, and most blind people do not tell when they're applying that they're blind, because as soon as they tell them, and it's sad, but they don't even look at them. And that's wrong, because someone has it. It doesn't mean that they can't function or do. I just have my captain on Team Canada has accomplished. He's a judge in Halifax. He just got sworn in.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah. So our companies out there shouldn't just turn a blind eye to someone because they have a disability. Give someone an opportunity and let them, if it doesn't work out, hey, that person's tried, but give it a chance.
Yeah, it's just such, like, with technology advancing to where it's almost out of reach for some people, I think it all comes down to money, really, and accessibility through technology. We're such a visual society. Everybody's constantly looking at their phones or their tablets, whatever it is, and that's how we're getting our information. And when you look at somebody that's visually impaired, I think there might be a gap growing. So I just think it's money that, you know, have to be invested. The software and everything is out there for accessibility, but it comes down to the money. And I don't know whether maybe there are grants out there, that's beyond my pay grade, that can access these types of things. But I think that would encourage more people. I don't know, Joey, what you think about
totally agree.
Technology and
technology definitely has grown, and it's definitely before I used to, when I worked to now, is definitely made my job easier, and technology grows by the minute, and the software is out there, and these companies are going to know just how to provide the technology, and because it's out there and it should be mandatory.
I think that's really important. Technology is moving so quickly, and we're advancing to allow people that have different capabilities to do anything, really. And it's the research that a company can put into and resources that they can invest in. And so the one thing I want to recircle back and remind everyone is, you know, especially you, Joey, regardless whether you are visually impaired, you're able to pick up on different things. Pre-conversations, I know that you're able to hear a phone call and understand the emotions there, and really can siphon through the important information because you've been able to hone those skills, because your listening skills are just so acute. And those are the things that we can remember and focus on of some of the values that you hold, and that's how you've contributed to TPS. So I think that's wonderful that for companies looking at staffing, those are the things that they need to remember, just the different values that all different people hold. And so we talked about the company side. And so I'd like to lastly finish off on the opposite end. So those folks who may be visually impaired. Do you have any advice for them generally, just in terms of in the workforce, and then even also if they're interested in TPS?
I tell people there's no such thing as can't. Keep at it and apply for jobs like anyone else, and eventually someone's going to hire you. And just keep at it. Just there's no such thing as can't.
I think I would say take a page out of Joey's book, and you might have to put in that extra effort, which is what rewards come by, right? Is hard work. So I think taking some of Joey's lead in regards to putting in extra work, even if it's volunteering on your own time to learn a little bit more about the job that you're interested in. I think contact our talent and acquisition front desk, and even speak to a sergeant there to see what jobs are available, if they're having any issues with accessibility at home, and they would be able to tell them on the phone what jobs are available that that we have posted. Mm-hmm. And that would definitely help out.
Absolutely, because everyone matters. Everyone is valuable.
Yep.
Thank you so much to both of you. This has been a wonderful chat. And thank you to all of our listeners. This is 24 Shades of Blue. My name's Anime, and I will see you next time.